Welcome to Ask the Kabbalist, the show where you ask the questions, and as usual, Rav Lightman, Kabbalist Dr. Mike Lightman with me, is answering them. Hello, Rav Lightman.
Hello.
Before the first question for today, I'll remind you, as always, that you can go to tv.kabbalah.info, and on our website there, you'll find our Ask the Kabbalist page, and there you can send questions. There's a very user-friendly interface allowing you to send us video questions or audio questions, or type in your questions right on the page. And let's begin with our first question. This is a video question that is coming from Errol from Atlanta. And let's watch it.
My question is, why does mankind continue to perpetrate wars? Wars are horrific things. They're terrible. They're horrible. Murderous things. And it seems at some point mankind would have evolved to the position where that they could have other ways of resolving differences than mass murdering of individuals. It seems like the leaders of our countries and should be able to resolve differences without going to terrible extremes such as war.
You're right. Logically, we should have learned something from life. And if life teaches us that after wars and problems, we simply suffer and no one earns from that, now we see from history that anyone who even acquired something at war and won eventually lost too. And why don't we learn from that history? Every time, even those same countries, we see that they repeat the same problems and want to defeat each other to steal and kill and control, and it's endless. How long? Don't we see that it works adversely against all of us? The problem is different. We don't know the whole plan of reality of creation that's in our nature. This plan is in order to bring man to the recognition of evil, that man's nature is evil, and that the more a person will develop, the more his nature will unfold as evil, and up to the point where we reveal now that no process that we went through, no history, nothing helps us. On the contrary, we're like kids, irrationally, senselessly, mindlessly. We want to be in war, in collision with each other. And besides, we see how unsuccessful we are in building a family, connections and relationships between children and parents, education, in general, a good life for us all. We simply can't. Everything becomes much harder. Person falls into despair as a result of all that he undergoes. Really, life here, in our world, we live a short period, but we're capable according to our brains, our abilities, our powers. We can make our life really good. Heaven. And we don't do it. We throw all our money on wars, we burn the world, and we don't want to enjoy it. Where are our brains? It's all because inside nature there's a plan, and that plan is to bring us to the recognition of evil, that we have to correct ourselves, and to bring ourselves from hating others to loving others. And when we'll bring ourselves to that, then will it be possible to speak about a good life without the horrific wars, as you say. But how can we correct ourselves? We don't have the power to do that. And thus, all world leaders, they simply flow with man's nature. They they know that everything's evil, it's bad, and maybe we'll simply choose the least of two evils because there's nothing to do about it. Comes the wisdom of Kabbalah and says, incorrect. Inside nature, there's an inner force that can correct us, only if we want it, only if we use the method of correction called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And if, by this method, we correct ourselves, then suddenly we feel ourselves wanting to connect, wanting to speak to each other, wanting to come into connection with one another. Through this connection, we can build a completely different life through the right kind of connections, as suited for the global world to have a good, nice, reciprocal connection between us and everything. But the power to govern the world through the right kind of connection, that we can get through that wisdom called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And thus, I'm really hopeful that the same as it is revealed here now in our times, we'll be able to use it and to finish our period of bitter development.
There's a lot to think about after that kind of question. Okay, there's another question here that sort of continues the topic from a broader perspective. Mm-hmm. This is also a video question, and this is coming from Mexico City, from Armando, Guillermo Armando. Let's watch the question.
Okay, hi, my name is Guillermo Armando, I'm from Mexico City, and my question is, what is evolution? Are we evolving or devolving? I mean, is this evolution? Thank you.
In our world, we see that everything came from the Big Bang, from a small particle of energy that broke through into our realm and built, only as a result of that energy, the whole entire reality, the still, the entire universe, and then on Earth, vegetative, animate, and speaking, man. And through this entire process of 15 billion years, there is a gradual development of cause and consequence, and this development is leading us to a special goal. This goal is that we have to develop from that particle that bursted through into our world from top down. We undergo a development in our world, and then from our world we have to ascend back to the place from where that particle came from where that energy came from, that bursted through into our realm at the Big Bang, and we have to reach its root, the origin from where it came from, all of us in our development, to connect to that source which has created us, that has built us, and to reveal it. And then all of us shall be on a level in connection, in unity with that upper force, with that power that built our entire reality. All in all, we're inside a bubble into which that particle came into, bursted here, and built the entire reality inside that realm, inside that sphere. So in our development, in our evolution, we have to reach a state now where we break back through this sphere into that place from where that energy came from, the energy which has created us. And when we'll connect to that place, to that power, to that source, then truly we will know how to achieve a happy life. There is the place of tranquility, the place of connection, our place of unification. When we will reach that, we will reach that same unification as had that particle that broke through to us. We will achieve a good, perfect, whole, limitless life.
You're saying that it's rather than a process that is random, which is what I know an evolution as, you're describing a process that is circular, that is if goes back to the point where it started from.
And precisely now, we're at a critical point where we're obliged by this development in which we are necessarily, it's not up to us. We must ascend back to our source from where that energy which has created us came from. And we can return either by the powers of nature that oblige us, really strong and harsh powers of evolution that awake us to advance by suffering, or we learn about this entire development, this ascent, and then we're drawn to ascend ourselves, and then these ascensions, this development, our future seems as a very beautiful and good perspective, something preferable.
Okay. What do you mean by now? Now we're exactly in the point where we finished the first
round. We are at the critical point where we're truly passing the point of the worst states, and by the revelation of the process, we're starting to ascend. Finally, we've passed this minimum, the lowest point.
Okay, and how can we hasten that process? How can we accelerate it or make it faster? Or we can't.
By our awareness. Because now, by our awareness, by our aspiration to return to that source, we can hasten our development, make it both easy and also quick.
Okay. When you say now we're in that point where we can make that, do you mean now as in 2010, 2000?
Yeah. In general, now in this period in time, it's a period of a few decades in which on the one hand we undergo despair as a result of all of our previous paradigm and we have to enter a new paradigm.
I'm talking about dates and special dates. There's a question, an audio question. From Sean from Los Angeles. Let's hear it.
Hello, my name is Sean, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. I was calling in regards to the date that everyone seems to have marked down. It seems to be at 2012. I believe it's May 5th or May 12th, 2012. The Aztec calendar, all of the major religions have some sort of event occurring on that day. I was just wondering what the Kabbalist has to say on 2012. What kind of an event is going to be happening? It's of interest of everyone that I know, and if I'm asking on behalf of everyone. Thank you very much.
Dear Sean, I went through many dates in life. There was the date of 1984, the year of Tashmad, which literally in Hebrew means destruction, where everyone thought the world will be destroyed. Afterwards, there was the year 2000. You were also there. People thought, what could happen in the year 2000 according to Greenwich time or Jerusalem time or something? Maybe something will happen now, and there were other dates. Every year there is something that pops up that soon the date will come, the end of the world. Humanity needs to amuse itself a bit, I think. Man likes a bit of action, a bit of a tragic state. Upon it you see better states. Because the light excels darkness. So let's put it this way. There is no and will never be an end to the world. There is and will never be an end to humanity. There could be, God forbid, great problems that we can prevent. But there is no an end to the world or humanity. But there is a clear plan for man, for people in this world. We have to reach a level, a recognition, eternal, whole, and perfect life here in this world. And this opportunity precisely is opening up before us now in our generation and in the future generations. We can also open up for ourselves a different life on a different level beyond all these dates, beyond all the problems we're always frightened with. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, it speaks about the very opposite. It speaks about how can we take positive powers from nature and to change by them and to change ourselves and to bring ourselves to the revelation of the new world, to open up our senses to an extent to which we won't feel the limited reality which we perceive through sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. What portion do we really perceive from the world which we depict through these five small holes that I have here? But I can open them up and from within to open up my awareness and to feel the world, what it's like not only through what enters my senses, but how it really is. And suddenly I discover in it plenty of other things. I'll discover in it powers, an upper world, myself in a limitless form. And that's all at my disposal. That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah allows a person to do. And it doesn't speak about the bad things at all. They will come if we won't want to use what we're given from nature in a positive way, then bad states will be revealed, suffering in order to oblige us nonetheless to build a good life. That's it. But before us, nonetheless, is a beautiful future.
When we finally reach that point, that final point of our evolution, we will be on vacation, we can say. Finally, we can rest. What happens then?
When we correct ourselves and come out of our senses, we transcend our limitations. We come out into a state which is beyond time, space, and motion. We come out into a state where we feel our lives not according to our body, which is on the living degree, but we elevate ourselves in consciousness to the degree of the speaking, the human level, the degree of our thoughts. And our thoughts, they're eternal. They do not depend on man. Because where's my awareness? It's not necessarily here inside my mind.
This is still a mystery, I think, in science.
It's really outside man. Either speak about it as a soul that's outside the body, or speak about it as truly our development on a level higher than the animalistic body. If you say that everything's inside my body, then you're saying that I'm merely a beast. So I'm asking you, where is the human in me? What is the human in me? That what? I'm a bit smarter than a monkey. I know a bit better how to build different toys for myself in this world. How are we really men? What is the essential difference between the living degree and the human degree?
Maybe it's we're more evolved, I think. Yeah, it's like we're more sophisticated animals, it seems.
So you're a sophisticated animal. That's it. It's not true. Because look what a difference there is between the still and vegetative. The vegetative, it grows, it has a life, it feels, breathes, emits. It's alive. The living degree, beasts, animals, they multiply and they live, each one has its personal life and they move. So what, we're on the same level? Or is there another level, the speaking degree? What is the speaking degree? The degree of man, what is that? We don't feel it. We have not yet revealed it inside us. That's what we have to discover. We have to grow within us, man. In the meantime, as it says, all are deemed as beasts. We're merely living an animalistic life. We haven't developed the human level in us. The human in us is our eternal degree. We're beyond our bodies, atop it, above it. And then we feel the life in its eternal flow above the body. Regardless whether I'm alive or dead, there is a life above that. I merely have to connect to that flow. The same as the still doesn't understand the vegetative, and the vegetative doesn't understand the animate. The animate doesn't understand the degree of man. And thus the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the hidden wisdom. It speaks of a level that we don't understand. understand because we're still on the beastly degree, the living degree.
So it seems like there's a complete, however you put it, there's a disconnection, there's a detachment.
True.
So how do we bridge it? If we are supposed to rise to that degree, then why are we so disconnected? How do we rise there?
We have to ascend to that degree through our own efforts. We have to want to come out of the beastly degree on which we exist now. All of our suffering, all of our troubles, in order to oblige us not to remain on our level, but to rise to a higher degree. And if we'll use the negative forces to escape them on the one hand, and through the wisdom of Kabbalah, we'll draw the power from above in order to ascend to that higher level, will succeed, and then suddenly I reach a state where a new essence awakens, is born within me, called man, and then as a beast, my body can die. But in my awareness, I will remain in my perception and everything, my eye will remain eternally. That's the eternal life that religions and faith speak about. The wisdom of Kabbalah says, here and now you can acquire that and stay in it. And don't make a big deal about the body. It lives its life as long as it needs.
What does it really take to attain that level, that eternal existence? What if a person says, you know, he hears those words and feels that spark inside, and he wants to do it. What do you recommend? You know, and we have about a minute left. What would you say to a person who says, okay, I want that?
He has to get on our study network for free through different places. Maybe there is a place to study next to his place of residence, maybe through our internet, through the learning centers, through the campuses, sometimes through meetings that we have, congresses in different places. He has to get in touch with us, get on our site, and there he will open himself a window to that eternal, whole, and perfect state.
Okay, we have to conclude at this point. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Everyone's is invited, and you're also invited to send more questions to our Ask the Kabbalist show. You go to tv.kabbalah.info, and on the user-friendly interface that we have there, you can send your video questions, audio, text, whatever you feel like. Also, you can go to www.kabbalah.info and find information about all those various means of study that Rav Lightman just mentioned. That's it for today. Thank you very much for joining us, and all the best.